what time it is. No, seriously, guess.
Is it right at 9:30?
It is exactly 9:30. It is KCIM Sports Rewind time. We don't cheat you out of time on this show. We give you a full 30 minutes-ish of sports talk.
You know we're going to go long, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, you're back. That's why. I had Mark Schaefer on last week. Did we go over time? No. Not at all.
The funny thing is when you're on vacation, we never go over either.
I still blame you.
That's fine.
And by the way, I blamed you for all the... never mind, it's a side story that we'll have to get to later on. So we're going to get ready for high school sports. Of course, gearing up for the fall. Tennis is already underway.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Crazy. I saw that on the sports thing the other day, and I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, they... had 4 days of practice, actually three for Audubon, 3 days of practice for the girls after the dead week, and they had their first match last Thursday, and then Kemper opened up last Friday. So, yeah, it was kind of weird. I was on vacation, but I felt kind of bad, so I'm like, I better run down to the meet at Graham Park here in town. Mm-hmm. So I went down and spent about 45 minutes to an hour kind of watching them play tennis and stuff and chatting with Coach Finner and the new coach and everything, but... I feel kind of bad if I'm in town and I don't stop in, even though I'm on vacation.
Well, Mason, it's like 3 weeks before school starts, and they're already gearing up for it. So, man, the fall sports season underway.
Yeah, I mean, I already interviewed head coach Mackenzie Nissen for Audubon, and when she talked, she said that they started practice on that Monday, and then immediately they had a triangular down in Shenandoah that Thursday. And when I talked to her,
kids
she's
worked
like,
out through the summertime, right?
Yeah. She's like, we lost a lot of our crew from last year, so, I mean, it's going to be fun to see who's going to jump up from JV and who's going to kind of step up and be that 1-2 this year.
Yeah, so tennis underway. Crazy. But we're going to kind of take a look back here at state baseball. We've got a special guest, Jeff. Tell us who we got.
You, Matt. Chris Cuellar, of course, from the Iowa High School Athletic Association joining us. We have him on. I kind of teased him, I think, the last time that we had him on. I texted him afterwards and said, you know, we should have you on after every season and just kind of recap those seasons and look forward to the next one. And kind of hopefully he doesn't get too tired of talking to us.
He's like the unofficial fourth member of the crew
of the
here.
Rewind crew,
almost
yes.
Almost like the Forgotten Beatle. Chris Cuellar on the phone with us. How you doing, Chris?
Doing great. Only a few weeks removed from another Carroll trip, and things were awesome as usual. So I don't know that I'm totally geared up for the fall season, kind of like you guys. It seems like it was the shortest summer of all time, but here we are, and it's go time for our staff for sure.
Chris, Jeff Leichman here. I know you mentioned you just returned from a trip to Carroll here not too long ago. Have you had enough time to recover from having to deal with Jeff Honnold while you were here?
There's never enough time to get over Honnold, you know that. but no, it was a fantastic trip. Jeff is one of our many excellent hosts there in town, and one of the reasons we love coming back. So the whole Merchants team, the chamber, the schools, it was phenomenal. And, you know, we got nothing but positive feedback from our participating schools and, of course, from our staff. So, you know, we had a good thing going, especially with all the renovations that were done, and we had a great week of baseball. So can't ask for much more, guys.
I think you're exaggerating with that worth of excellent host. I'm just using it very loosely there. But talk about Sioux City, first of all. That was their first opportunity to host this event. I mean, all the way clear over on the west side of the state, that was a little different feel, wasn't it?
Athletic Association has existed since 1904, and we had never hosted a state tournament of any kind in Sioux City, Iowa. So overdue, let's say, they did an awesome job, especially because, you know, it was their one tournament chance as the 3A, 4A tournament goes back to Cedar Rapids next year. But they put on a great show. Explorers helped host along with the Siouxland Sports Commission, and Corey Westra and his team, you know, really made us feel welcome, did an awesome job making our teams feel welcome. And they all kind of turned it into like a tournament week. You know, we had a lot of fun out there, and I don't know, pretty cool being able to take some state tournaments to Western Iowa, I'll tell you.
Yeah, that was really great. I mean, if nobody's driven by, you drive by on the highway there as you cut around through town, so you get a great view of Explorer Park there. They really do have nice facilities there, don't they?
It was a great fit for our event, and a couple of those nights when we had the Northwest Iowa teams participating were unreal. As good of a tournament atmosphere as you could ask for. On the Monday, we had Sergeant Bluff Luton and Bishop Heelan playing in back-to-back games, and then on Tuesday night, we had Sioux City East. So a couple thousand people in the ballpark both nights made for an awesome tournament atmosphere.
Chris, I know you were at both locations this year, and you guys have now done this for a few years where you've been either in Iowa City or Cedar Rapids and now Sioux City and then Carroll for the other location. Do you feel like as a group you guys are pretty well set now on how everything needs to work? Because it's got to be different than it used to be where everything was always at one location.
Definitely. We've gotten pretty good at, you know, dividing and conquering, and just kind of assisting the host groups that are there. Obviously, if people walk around Merchants, they know that they recognize their friends and neighbors because there are a handful of athletic association folks on site and we're very recognizable. But, it's the locals that make everything go wherever we are. Jeff, I think it's part of a bigger conversation that we probably don't have time for entirely today, but I think the benefit of this two-site setup has been really helping us prioritize what we want out of these state tournament experience and the venues and the communities we're working with. Not blowing smoke here, but that's a credit to Carroll, that's a credit to Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, Sioux City, because I think it's helped us kind of shape what we want in other sports too, where, you know, we don't usually get that opportunity simply because we don't move that frequently.
You know, it was funny. Chad Tiemeyer, right after the state tournament was done, had a great post on Facebook thanking all the volunteers locally and how well the tournament ran. So on the side of Carroll, I mean, we're giving ourselves an A+, but give us a letter grade as far as the association.
I'm not going to give you anything other than an A+. We have a great time. Our staff loves coming there. It's an awesome week. I think the only thing we would ask for is, you know, maybe some more local flavor in terms of the participating teams, because we know they feel that way too, and they want to be playing there as well. So if we can pack it in all the way through Friday night, that would be, you know, phenomenal. But we absolutely love being in the community and spending the week there. So no edits here, guys.
Chris, you mentioned early that, you know, the remodeling job that the city did with Merchants Park, your thoughts on that and what the improvements helped bring to the tournament?
We loved it. I mean, it felt natural. It felt like it fit in and nothing changed about the atmosphere that people love. But they were enhancements in every frame of the word. So I think it's a safer, even better experience for attendees and players. And, you know, that's a win-win, guys.
And I think one of the biggest things was a little sign on the outfield, Scott Parcher Field. What do you guys, Scott, of course, is a legend around here, but I'm sure well known at the association as well.
For sure. And then, you know, we were thinking about him when we got a ton of rain the week of and then around our games because the field needed tons of work. But folks worked around the clock, Chad and the entire volunteer team that makes that grounds crew go. They were working around the clock all week long to make sure the thing was playable. So I'd like to think Scott would have appreciated that.
Chris, one of those guys that volunteers to help work the grounds is Randy Snyder. I just got a text message from him. Made me think, he said 2011, when you were here working for the paper, you chased that team that made the state tournament. As you look back at that, you know, and stuff for Randy, and he told me how great you are and how you've brought so much to the association. So I think you got a big fan in Randy Snyder. But do you look back sometimes at when you were here for that summer to what you got to cover and the teams you got to see?
I think it's I keep the connection and the people more than anything. I mean, kudos right back to Randy because he's one of a kind. But I mean, I was talking to Riley Bach and I told him that team should have won state. And he was like, yeah, we know. it was an opportunity to cover a great community, a great bunch of kids, a great team, and kind of to see how that all worked. And so, yeah, certainly formative for me. I wouldn't be where I am without that kind of experience, as I'm sure, you know, some of those guys feel that way about wherever they're at. But I think it's pretty remarkable that, you know, almost 15 years on, I am still able to have this connection with a community that I am not from, but feel certainly connected to.
Yeah, it was a great, great tournament. Once again, kind of went off without a hitch. You mentioned the rain a little bit in there, but that didn't seem to hamper anything. So let's kind of move on from baseball. Did you guys get to any time off at the association? They have a dead week, so to speak, for the athletes. But how about you guys?
Some folks did. We recently reacquired our sports network / media rights. So I have been extremely busy with that. so not a lot of downtime. Our first event that we'll be televising through the Iowa High School Athletic Association will be the football semifinals in November, and that feels like it's like 48 hours from now. So I'm basically just going to be grinding until then.
So what does that mean for fans out there? What's the difference that they're going to notice now that you've acquired that back?
It will be easier to watch than ever. That was easy, accessible, free were the three buzzwords that we kept in mind throughout this entire process. We are signing the video producers relatively soon. We have those contracts out, and we had that stuff decided months ago. And then we're hoping to be able to announce all the platforms where people will be able to watch our state championship broadcast in the next handful of weeks as well. So we're very excited for that. It has been a long time coming, but you know, it's a little bit duck on water with some of this stuff, as you guys know in your roles, which is people will not care about all the work that goes on behind the scenes. They just want to see what happens on the air. So that's our goal, is to get it there and make sure that people have an easy to watch, high quality product.
Well, speaking of football, yeah, let's deal with it. High school football. It is not very far away for you guys. There's some changes coming this year. Tell us a new districts that are rolling out. Everybody's going to have to get used to some different opponents.
Yeah, so the classification structure, this is the second go-round with the cumulative number, which factors in free and reduced lunch rates into the classifications. And, you know, we're 4 years on now with the seven-class structure, so it goes all the way up to class 5A. You know, some major changes that we didn't see the last cycle that we are seeing this cycle. If you follow statewide football, the biggest thing you'll see is that we've got three state champions all in class 1A this year, which is pretty remarkable. And I think that means we're going to tick somebody off with our first batch of rankings. We can guarantee that one.
So does that mean that you bump somebody up, you bump somebody down, and then you still have the 1A champ?
That is correct.
Yeah. Wow.
With the class structures in Iowa were previously just based on enrollment, and now they are based on a number that is enrollment multiplied by the free and reduced lunch rate of each school. So again, it is just a number. It's not manipulated by us or the state legislature or anything like that. But that number determines who's in what class, and that's how it shook out. New classifications for everybody, new schedules for everybody, and you know, hopefully we can still keep some of those rivalry games with the non-district matchups and some of those local games that people want to play.
So with the reclassification, did anybody have any objections, any districts?
I mean, there's always objections, John, but the schedule, I would offer our football administrator, Jared Cheezik, who spends the entire week in Carroll during state baseball, is as studious at this as anyone could imagine, and puts together all of these schedules, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of data points. You know, he manages it all himself by hand and with a spreadsheet, and gets it going for every single school. So it is a work of art, a work of wonder, and, you know, while there are occasionally a handful of complaints about somebody that thinks that they got somebody too tough in week three, you know, things usually sort out as they should.
Hey, Chris, Mason Nealon here, and looking forward to the football season, and for you, in your opinion, what do you think is going to be the most exciting aspect about this upcoming football season?
That's a great question, but you got the most biased guy ever. I am like wholly concerned on making sure that our broadcast is ready to go with the semifinals and the finals, you know, to get people to be able to see it as they have been wanting to and as they should. You know, that's not a regular season answer because we have 330 schools playing football, and I hope they all have an excellent and safe regular season. But by the time we get to the postseason, I'm just going to be concerned about, you know, whether that semifinal broadcast that people will be able to watch is as good as it can be, and then our finals on PBS, if that's as good as it can be, and, you know, highlights our schools and student athletes the way it should be done.
Chris, you mentioned earlier that you guys have control. I love that fact, and I think you know that. I was on vacation last week, so I got the opportunity yesterday to sit down and fill out your guys' new form. I love the fact that I get to go through you guys now for all the credential stuff. Give Jared some kudos as well for the redistricting. The fact that all of my eight-man schools are in the same district for the first time in about 8-10 years
is a lot. It's all about you, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, but it makes scheduling for us easier here, but I appreciate that. But talk about, and I know you're not probably in the room with him all the time because he does it, but what goes into changing up the district? You look at Carroll High, for example. They were kind of northwest for several years now and several runs through the changes and stuff. This year they go a little bit more south and also to the east. So what goes into when you guys decide, to move teams out of districts and kind of rearrange like you did this past year?
So we have to wait on all the data to come in so that we can even make the classifications. Then once we have a rough idea of what those classifications are, Jared gets ants in his pants and starts putting magnets all over our state maps on what the classifications might be and what those, districts might look like. We do what we can to look at maps from the past, whether that's previous success that some of the schools have had, or whether that's, boy, this would be the exact same district as it was the last three cycles. Is there a way we can shift that up for everybody? Or, we've heard from every head coach or AD in that district, and they love it, and that's the way it looks like again. If you guys map some of these classifications out yourselves and, put, as an example, 36 pins on the map, you might be like, oh, well, I see what they had to do there, or why, Glenwood had to go with so-and-so. So that side of things ends up kind of taking care of itself, and then there's only a handful of pivot points. You can really ask a lot of our friends in the corners about what their districts are going to look like years in advance, because they just know there's only so many schools in their region of the state that are similar size to them and makeup. So Jared walks through all that stuff. Then he starts to make out the districts, and then for folks who may not know, schools are permitted to supply a preferred priority list of non-district opponents. Yep. And then Jared does everything he can to try to match those up in the way that they've rated them in as many games as he can give them. So if somebody lists somebody else as their number one or two or three priority, he's going to do his darndest to make it happen, in the schedule. And then he's got to manage that for all 330 schools. But it is an unbelievable process. And I'm not sure how we can make it much harder, but it still comes together.
We do want to talk a little bit about conference shuffling that's yes. going on, but talk about the districts as they're coming out now. What surprised you the most? I know we talked about the three champions that are going to be in 1A, but anything else jump out at you about these redistricts?
No, honestly, John, no. I mean, we've gone through this process enough. I think this is my third or fourth redistricting cycle. I think it's just settling in with this new 7-class and adjusted number process. We're just trying, I think people want to see, well, what's the answer or what's the silver bullet? And I think all we can tell them is, we're just monitoring what those adjustments might be and then, open to changing things going forward. So, we learned a lot, this being the second full cycle with, these adjustments, but I'm sure there's more to learn going forward.
Chris, I know official practice just getting underway for, the fall sports, especially football. The opening night's going to be Thursday, the 28th, and then most teams will play the 29th. But I know there's still a week zero. Is there many teams that play week zero? I haven't had a team play week zero here in my area in a long time. Are there many teams that still play week zero games?
We only have one district scheduled to play week zero right now, and it's an 8-player, the far southwest corner of the state. We thought, based on some possible interstate matchups, that we might have a few more week zero matchups, but those didn't shake out. So, no, there are not many going on, and pretty much everybody can count down. We're going to try not to offend that small 8-player district in southwest Iowa, but pretty much everybody can just gear up for that week one, where I think there's 7 games on Thursday night, and then everybody else is playing the Friday of week one. So that really, it will be a very real kickoff to the season statewide.
Well, we're looking forward to it. The Dim districts kind of look fun. There's different opponents there, like you said. And let's talk about the conference realignments that are going on. It's gone kind of crazy in our area with the Western Athletic Conference, Western Iowa Conference, yep. And also the Hawkeye 10 could be reshaped drastically in the next year or so. So talk about that as far as the perspective from the association. How do you guys look at all of that?
That's a great question, and our perspective has now been forced to change on that a little bit. Previously, you know, we kind of just kept an eye on things and then stayed out of the conversation because the process through state government was that those conference issues, if they required mediation, might come to us. So we had to stay a completely, you know, neutral party. And to be clear, we still do. But now state legislation passed last term to form a conference committee, conference realignment focused with members of selected by our association and some from the Girls Union put together to address some of these conference changes. And my understanding at this time, Department of Education hasn't issued guidance, but my understanding at this time is that whether someone is coming or going from a conference, it will have to come in front of this conference committee that has yet to be determined. So some of these moves we've been watching with a little more, I guess, a closer eye about what might be coming. And it feels like a big game of dominoes, as you guys are probably well aware. We'll move if they move, kind of situation. And all of those things, I believe, will end up coming before this conference committee. So those are things that, we'll end up having to address, and people will end up seeing, the result of that in due time.
Chris, I know that you have to stay probably pretty neutral on the whole thing, and each different, move is probably its own move. But do you feel like all of these conference realignments that are going on is good for high school sports here in Iowa?
That's a great question, Jeff. I think people have to think about what the reason for conferences is. And in almost every case, that is to find the best geographic, competitive, social community fit possible for your school to compete with schools like yours. What that means to Carroll might be different than what it means to Kemper, than what is different than what it might mean to East Sac County. And so from the athletic association side of things, all we can do is sit and watch and try to, see what these communities think is their best fit. Every now and then there's a conference that makes an offer or makes a move that we're kind of like, ooh, that'll be interesting. Or, ooh, how does this affect, this other school? So we do just kind of have to watch, but the more conferences can consider those competitive concerns, that then I think that's best for them to decide. I just think there's so much more that goes into it than varsity and state tournament results that maybe the average folk don't think about when they hear about some of these moves. And, is this best for such and such a community? Well, I got about 15 follow-up questions to that, right? How many kids do you have participating in junior high sports? How long is the bus ride, for the farthest place or for an average night? What nights are you playing some of these games, depending on the sport? All those things kind of factor in, and I think it's best that the school district decide that, and then, hopefully we can provide some guidance as necessary.
Man, that's going to be, you just turned an interesting topic, way more interesting with that conference committee there. So we're going to be following that very, very closely. Chris, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. You are the fifth Beatle on the Rewind program. So be proud about that.
We'll get you a shirt, Chris.
Thank you guys. Cheers. And have a great week. Thank you so much for all your help.
All right. Will do. Once again, Chris Cuellar with the Athletic Association. We're going to be back with more KCIM Sports Rewind next.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
All right, thanks to Chris Cuellar from the Athletic Association joining us here. Everything went smooth as all possible get out here for the state baseball tournament. And, of course, Sioux City sounded like the same thing. But the big news, I think, coming out of that is the conference committees
yes.
that they could have at the association. So just because a school district says, yeah, we want to join, hold on a minute. I think the conference committee, it sounds like, is going to have the final say in saying yes or no.
Yeah, I would imagine most of the time it'll be yes. I think it'll be hard, as you heard Chris kind of say, that the school's kind of got to know what's good for themselves and what's coming up. But you could see occasionally where maybe the conference realignment committee says, you know, not so fast, you know, type of a thing.
Sad, sad news going on this week up in East Sac County. The passing of Jason Phillips very unexpectedly the other day, Jeff.
Yeah, passed away on Friday. I think it was a shock to I'm sure his family and everybody there with the East Sac family. And my thoughts and prayers go out to them. I've known Jason pretty much since I came here to Carroll in 2004. He was the assistant boys basketball coach at that time for Wall Lake View Auburn under head coach Todd Bontrager, and you know, I tip my cap to him. I think one of the things that people maybe from the outside don't realize is that you know several years ago their girls basketball program was really struggling for numbers, and there was some thoughts of, you know, they may have to, you know, just play JV or junior high or you know, combine with somebody else, and the baseball program would be going through coaches, you know, almost every year, every other year, and they were having a hard time. And Jason cared so much about those kids and those programs that he stepped up and took both of those jobs and held on to them for a long time to stabilize things. So I tip my cap for, you know, the care that he had, you know, to give his time, you know, to help stabilize those two programs and make them what they are today. And not a lot of people, I don't mean to sound it, but not a lot of people do that nowadays, where they're just willing to say, you know, you need me, I'm just going to jump in and do that, and it's going to cost me my time and, you know, maybe some money because I don't get to work as much and all those kind of things. So a lot of respect for what Jason did. And I know for, you know, Mason hadn't had a chance to work with him, but Tyler and Casey and all the other assistants and myself, he was a joy to interview and just a great guy and always was willing to give you time, whatever you needed, and he was willing to do that for you.
Yeah, certainly our thoughts go out to Norman Marsha Phillips, his parents right there, who run the Rustic River Winery. And of course, he was busy with ag in the summertime. He was coaching baseball. And that's the time for basketball, too. Yes. I mean, when you want to get better, that summertime is the time.
Yeah, he didn't stop. He was always on the go. He volunteered as one of the volunteer football coaches the last couple of years. So, you know, thoughts to, of course, his whole family and the whole Raider family up there.
Yeah, that was a tough, tough day on that one. So, again, other things happening. Well, let's talk. We know football season's coming. We'll talk about that next week and things like that. But let's talk a little college football. We're 11 days away from the start of college football. First time since 2002 that two ranked teams are going to kick off the season. It's Iowa State, K-State in Ireland.
Yep.
So that's kind of a crazy little thought that it's been that long since we've had this kind of a kickoff.
Right, yeah, and it's, you know, I still question, I understand why everybody wants to play over in Ireland. Nebraska did it a few years ago, but, you know, the Iowa State, K-State to me is a it's like, besides the Iowa game, it's probably the biggest rivalry on the Iowa State schedule. It just seems weird to take that to a different country. That's the only thing that I question about them playing over in Ireland for that game is it's such a huge rivalry game.
Yeah, there was so much excitement around the game. I mean, everybody traveled between the two schools extremely well.
Yes.
So top 25 for the AP came out. Iowa got no love.
Yeah.
No love at all.
And should. They've been a top 25 type program. But I think
they got Gronowski coming in for quarterback from SDSU. Right. He's a good, good quarterback.
Right.
So I think they're going to be a lot better than that. I mean, they were ranked, 44th? If you followed it on down for the AP top 25.
Yeah, and I think part of that's, you know, they judge everything based off of last year. And you know, they went, 7-5, I think, a year ago. And, you know, their offense has not been good for 5 years or so now. And I think people are, you know, just kind of the wait and see thing. But, you know, the defense and the special teams will give them a chance. And if they can get any kind of an offense, They'll be really, really tough this year. And I think the really cool thing for us here is that, Ty Nissen's back for another year, and he's going to see some time on the field. And it sounds like things are going extremely well for DJ Vanami. So very excited to see what he's going to be able to do for the Hawkeyes.
Hawks this year, Mason, what do you think?
Well, I saw a statistic the other day, and when Iowa scores 21-plus points, they're 33-1 over the last 5 years.
Thank you, Norm Parker.
If Iowa can score
some
points.
Teams.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have Cooper DeJean on that special teams return anymore.
Right.
But
yes.
They've always been rock solid with that one. How about this one? Nebraska is 34th, if you followed it down.
Yeah, they're
10 above the Hawks.
Yeah, there's some national excitement. I think most of us Nebraska fans and Nebraska media are fairly reserved anymore, and kind of that wait and see. But I think part of it is if you look at Matt Rhule's career at Temple and Baylor, year three, he went from 5 or 6 wins, 7 wins at both places, to winning double-digit games. So he takes a big jump every year in that third year when he has to rebuild a program like he's trying to do over in Lincoln right now. We were terrible before he got there, and he's kind of slowly built it back to a little bit of respectability, and I think people are anticipating maybe a jump.
How about Lincoln Riley out there at USC, ranked 30th in the AP preseason poll? I mean, preseason poll doesn't mean a darn
thing.
No,
it doesn't.
So it's just fodder for us to talk about.
Been terrible defensively for years. He's never coached defense even when he was at Oklahoma. He's never had a good defense. So won a lot of games, but he's an offensive-minded guy, and I still believe you win with defense. So
yeah. Top of the poll, let's talk about that. Texas, Penn State, Ohio State, the three clear favorites going into the season.
Yeah, Texas, they're loaded and have been for a few years.
Arch Manning era is here, finally.
Yep, and Penn State, I think the big question is, because, and I'm not saying it, but everybody says it, can James Franklin win the big one? He's got the team to be able to do it this year. Last year they won a game in the playoff, but nobody wants to give him credit for that. So we'll see.
All right. Question of the day. How many top 10, how many top teams in the 25 are in the SEC?
10.
Yeah, that kind of floored me. Big 12 or Big 10 rather?
6.
Yeah, and the Big 12 has 4.
Of course, most voters are down in the southeast part of the state. Who are they going to favor? Of course, it's the SEC.
Yeah. I got a trivia question. Actually, here's a better trivia question for you. Name the only power conference team that has never been ranked in the college football preseason AP top 25.
Only power conference team?
The only power conference team never to be ranked in the preseason top 25 ever.
Ooh.
Coming out of the SEC.
Oh, Vandy.
Vandy.
Okay.
Right there.
I thought you were talking conference, and I'm like, okay, I didn't catch the team part.
The conference team there. So, anyway, tennis going on right now. When does everything else get going? When do all the practices start for
practices
volleyball?
Practices are all started. They all started on Monday for pretty much everything. So we'll have cross country. Volleyball will start the 25th. Cross country will start later that week. And, of course, football starts the 28th. And girls swimming's, the week after that. So, it's going to get busy here quick.
Yeah, and there's another sport moving to fall, correct? Is it golf?
No, just golf was going to, and it didn't. So they were going to move boys golf and boys tennis, and the association voted down on doing that. So those two stayed in the spring. So
there you go. That's what I was thinking of there. So,
yep.
All right. That is KCIM Sports Rewind. Once again, our thanks to Chris Cuellar for joining us this morning. And you can catch a podcast of this available on the website and the mobile app coming up here in just a couple of moments.